Okay, the title of this course is How to Study the Bible, in case you forgot. It's by Cloud. Study the Bible dispensationally. Anybody know what that means, dispensationally? You've read it and kind of got an idea. Exactly. Boy, you must have memorized that definition. That's good. It's good. We got a lot of definitions. If you read your book, you know that I think it's five people he shared their definition of that. So the intro, and I'm just going through the book, so you've already read this, but I think it's important if we're going to do this, just give, if you can, I hope you can see this. These words aren't as big. Can you see that in the back? Is it clear? Fuzzy? All right, I understand. Okay. Anyway, this is Brother Cloud. He says, one of the things that I'm most thankful for in my Bible education is having been taught the importance of a normal, literal method of interpretation. A lot of people teach different things about that, and they like to allegorize it to make it spiritual. There are people that say, I got some out of my Bible today, so it became the Word of God. It's always the Word of God. You got some out of your Bible today because maybe the Lord was speaking through you through the Spirit. It's always the Word of God, never is not. So he's grateful that somebody showed him in his past how to do that. He said, I was trusting in promises such as John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. If you can take this verse and just based on this verse, believe it, you'll be in good stead because the word of God is true, always true. It is never wrong. And we like to put twist on it sometimes, but our words are not profitable. It's the Word of God that is. Romans 8:31-32. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Again, the understanding of the Bible. Everybody in this room that has a Spirit of God in them with some study can understand the Bible. Now, obviously, there's, you know, it's more study, more understanding. Less study, less understanding. That's kind of the way that works. And it's not just the Bible that helps. What are some other helps, real quick? We kind of talked about this a little bit. Haven't got into it yet. Commentaries, they'll help us. Does that mean we go to commentary and say, thus saith the Lord? A commentary is just a man's idea of what was said in the Bible. So one thing is you want to get a commentary that you can trust. And how do you know you can trust it? You study that commentary a little bit or read through it and see if he's got any slants on things. Some believe that you can lose your salvation. A guy who writes a commentary like that, he's going to probably mislead you if you're not careful. And it's easy to suck up to what people say instead of what the Bible says. And he might even have a good argument in his mind. So it's important that we stick to the Word of God as much as possible. Using commentaries, treasure scriptural knowledge, lexicons, dictionaries, trying to think what else. Concordance, those are really great. Everybody who has that Bible program, you have that concordance, Strong's Concordance on that program, and it will help you out tremendously. You click on a verse, and you can take that verse, and you can click on one of the Greek words or whatever, or just click on the verse itself. It'll give you verses that are like it. Click on a word, it'll throw words out there, the same word. And you can see that and go back and look and see how it means other things or is used in other text. Okay? He said, I believe that a consistent application, literal method of interpretation will result in a dispensational theology. And what he's saying there is if we study the Bible, it's going to lead to this. It's amazing how it does. Before I ever heard of dispensations, I started thinking about these things and how God dealt with different people at different times. He did. When you start studying the scriptures, the Old Testament beginning there, you see, before Moses came, they didn't have the law. So after Moses, God dealt with those the Israelites with the law. Before that, they didn't have it. Of course, Adam and Eve, they were innocent, perfect place. God told them one thing to not do. And we don't want to make light of them for doing that because Satan is subtle. I think we make light of Satan today. We think that we can do what we want and get away with it. Satan is subtle. If Adam and Eve can be confused, who walked with God daily, I know I can be. You know, sometimes we say, well, I trust somebody. I trust this. I don't trust myself, to be honest with you, because I can lead and I can be misled. We all can. And that's why it's so important to be cautious about the things that were of God and check those out. Okay, let's see. What's the next one? It says, we agree with the following statement by Charles Ryrie. If plain or normal interpretation is the only valid hermeneutical principle, and if it is consistently applied, it will cause one to be a dispensationalist, as basic as one believes normal interpretation to be. And as consistently as he uses it in interpreting Scripture, to that extent, he will of necessity become a dispensationalist. And so he's just making the statement that this is something that he agrees with. Oh, let's see where my notes are. I have a couple things here. He says, this to me is the bottom line because I am convinced that the normal literal method of interpretation is the only proper method. And he makes some statements here. Again, these are all in your book. They're verbatim pretty much. I think I may have changed a couple words, but not many. Not surprisingly, those who are committed to Reformed theology and its allegorical method of interpretation despise dispensationalism, which they will. They don't believe in it. They got their minds made up. Let me ask you this. How many of you are Protestants in here? Raise your hand if you're a Protestant. Okay, I got one. Okay. Anybody else a Protestant? Huh? I'm not sure what you said. Oh. Well, basically how it's been in church history. Theoretically, we're not Protestants. Protestant came out of the Reformation. Now, we can talk about this later. But and if you study Cloud, he'll agree with this statement, is that they came out of the Reformation. We didn't come out of the Reformation. We were always and always have been following the Bible, Bible believers. And the Waldensians and the Anti-Baptists. I got a book in there, Trail of Blood. You're welcome to read that and other things. But we're not like them. We don't practice how they practice. The Protestants, first off, a lot of Protestants believe you can lose your salvation, the Methodists. A lot of the Protestants, the Presbyterians, they think that God's already chosen those that are saved. And so there are a lot of different doctrines, and they practice a lot of the Old Testament traditions, like the Catholic practice the Old Testament traditions. They're not Protestant, by the way. The Catholics are not, because the Protestant came out of the Catholics. Okay, anyway, we'll talk more about that as we go on. Okay, what is dispensationalism? Let's go to the next slide. The Bible teaches that there are great periods of time in which God is working out his eternal plan in man's affairs. And that's what he's doing. He's working out, there's different times in which he's working out his eternal plan in affairs. And I can think of things, and you can too, I'm sure. But it's one of the things that's been on my mind a lot lately. God told Israel to go destroy everybody in the Promised Land. In the New Testament, you can't find it where he tells us to do that to anybody. It's just not there. We're to turn the other cheek. We're to give the cloak. If he takes their coat, we'll go the extra mile. I mean, you just study the Bible and you find out they're not the same. They're different times. God's dealing with us at a different time. And I'd encourage you, if you have a disagreement, to study those things out. Come see me. We'll talk about them. I'm not trying to stir anybody up. I'm just doing some studies myself. And I'm coming away with some thoughts that are different than I ever thought before. But anyway, his objective is to gather together in one all things in Christ. Someone turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 and read that for me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10 and read that. Somebody got that? Okay, Henry. Oh, he haven't got there yet. Okay. You're working on it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Dispensation, yeah. So all those in Christ, he's going to gather all those together. That's what this is about, is we're all going to be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what this, you know, as Christianity is about, is we get saved and God starts working in our lives. And what is the purpose we're here for? Help me out, somebody. And it's got to do with Matthew chapter 28. Anybody? Mark 16:15, Acts 1:8. Yeah, that's why we're here. Why else would God leave us here? You think he wants us to go through tough times? You think he wants us to have difficulties? I believe he wants us to live the life so we can help others see Christ. We are the light of the world since Jesus left. That's our responsibility. Okay? And one day we will all be with the Lord. Let's see here. It is an eternal plan. Christ atonement was foreordained before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 1:20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, that word manifest means declared, in these last times for you. So it's been revealed to us. Abraham didn't live the time of Christ. Adam didn't live in the time of Christ as far as he walked on this earth. He didn't know that necessarily. Their revelation is not the same as ours. Revelation 13:8 says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let me read that again. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book. Yeah, that's correct. Every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do it today in this lifetime, or we'll wait and do it later. It will happen. He is the Lord. I know a lot of people think, well, there's no God, there's no this. They're going to stand before a holy God. An angry God, as has been written in a sermon. And they're going to stand before him. We who are saved, we're going to stand before God, and he's going to reward us for those things we've done. And we'll either have rewards or we will not. If we've done nothing, we have no rewards. I think we'll be just like 2 Timothy 2:15 says, what are your choices? You can be approved. What's the other one? Shame, yeah, you know, to a degree. I mean, if you're either right, all the way right, or all the way left of that, hopefully nobody's that. You know, everybody's working and striving to be doing the things of the Lord now. Let's see here. It says, these periods of time in God's program are called dispensations, ages, times, and days, all four of these words. He says, it appears to me that these terms describe the same general thing and are used in much the same way in scriptures. Let's go to the next thing here. The Bible refers to dispensation in Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he may gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. And this word dispensation, it's a Greek word. You've seen it in your book. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It starts with an O. And it's really defined as an administration of a household or a state, especially a religious economy or a time, okay? And he gives us a definition out of the Greek English lexicon. It says to manage, regulate, administer, plan. He says the Greek word is also translated stewardship. In Luke chapter 16, three times it's translated stewardship there. And, of course, that is the parable of the unjust steward when he did not do what he should have in his master, and his master came to him and told him. So he did what? He went out and sold everything at half price, or cut the prices to get the money, or went out to get the money. He told him, give me half of this. And so he did that, and the Lord commended him. It was not the Lord Jesus Christ. It was his master. And Jesus is making the statement that even the children of the devil are wiser than some of us. And that's his point in that. But anyway, it's used three times there. So Ephesians 1:10, it refers to a period of time during which God is accomplishing some aspect of his great plan of the ages. He mentioned another word. We've already heard it. Another word for this is times. We see this word in Ephesians 1:10. Go back and look at that. It says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. So It's really this economy of the ages, the fullness of ages he might gather. What that's talking about is he's coming back, and that's all going to be completed then. It's all done. So shall we ever be with the Lord, right? And in Acts chapter 1, verse 7, he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power." That phrase, the times, is referring to God's plan. We don't know the times. And he also says the times are also called the seasons. We don't know when that's going to happen. And it refers to a period of time on God's great calendar. The Bible speaks of the times of the Gentiles in Luke chapter 21, 24. The times of restitution of all things, Acts 3, 21. This present time in Romans chapter 11, verse 5. All of those are talking about dispensations in that sense. Then he gives us another word. Another Bible word for this is ages. And this is from the Greek word aion, A-I-O-N. It's translated, I think I wrote some words up here. Okay, this is from the Greek. It's translated course in Ephesians 2:2, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He says it's also translated as world. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world or age, neither in the world to come or that age. He also says it's translated as forever. In Romans 16:27, to the God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Written to the Romans from Corinthians, and sent to Phoebe, servant of the church of Cenchrea. Let's see. Okay, and he's talking about, he gives some other examples. The word forever in the English Bible is Isis Ion, which means into the ages. The phrase forever and ever is Isis Ion, Ion, meaning into the ages of ages. And he gives a couple of verses, 1 Timothy 1:17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." So you have these in your book, so as you look at these, okay? The Bible also refers to this present world as an age. This present world. This is a time. This is a dispensation. What is this dispensation called? What does Brother Cloud call it? Does anybody know? Well, he says something else, but he mentions the church. It's the church age, right? But he called it, a lot of people call it the age of grace. And what you're going to find out, when I was in Bible college, I think Dr. Chow says, we're not going to call that. We're going to call it church age. So anyway, that's what he called it. But all of these dispensations, they're not locked into certain times and only that certain thing happened in that time. It's not that tight. Things go from ages to ages, different things. We know that the age of grace, that we call the age of grace, has always been, has it not? Sure, Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. So we know that grace has always been, and he'll explain some of that as we get through and as you're reading that, that these can overlap and different things can be in different dispensations. But they're a general rule of thumb how God is dealing with this economy of time that we live in. We don't live in the Old Testament. If we lived in the Old Testament, we'd go to the temple. We'd have to probably be proselyted to be Jews, and we'd go to the temple and worship in the temple. But we're not under the law. You can only take certain steps on Sunday, or actually the Sabbath day. You'd be under the Sabbath. We're not under the Sabbath. You would celebrate Hanukkah instead of Christmas. A lot of different things that the Jews have. Every male would be circumcised. That was a covenant that was made with Abraham. So we're not under that. We're not under those dispensations. We're under the dispensation of the church age. What's the major thing in the church age? Give me a verse that starts with John 3. Yes. Yes, that's right. And that's the age we're under. For whosoever, right? Okay. Let's go on. Ages past, it's also referred to. Ages to come, again, these are different dispensations. The world age of the resurrection of the dead is one of those as well. He goes on, he says, let's see, what's the next one? The ages. Another Bible word for this is day, and he gives a lot of verses for that as well. And then we're probably going to stop right here. He says, following are some definitions of dispensationalism based on the previous terms that are taken from Ryrie's Dispensationalism, page 20-29. He has written in his book, I think it's five different definitions from five different men. What we'll do is we'll share those next week, and I'll have everybody read, or not everybody, but five people read one of those, and we'll just go through and listen what they have to say, okay? So this is, it's not up there. I'm not going to put them on there because it's better if we just read them out of the book, and we can do that. There's, like say, five of those, and they're on page 76 and 77. So next week we'll kind of look at that. Anybody have any thoughts or comments about dispensationalism? What you think about it, or maybe you disagree with it? I don't know. All right. Well, go ahead and the homework. It's on the last slide, so I'm not going to get to that. The homework again is Ephesians 1:10. That's the verse, the one we put up there earlier. So try to memorize that verse if you can. And then also continue to do your reading and do your review questions. And we're not going to have any. We might have a quiz on the verse, and that might be it. And if I give you anything extra, it'll be extra credit just to see if you remember something from 3 months ago, something like that. But that's the only thing beyond the verse that you'll have credit for is Ephesians 1:10. All right? Everybody got that? What's the verse? Thank you. All right, good. All right, let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Let's stand. All right, Kirk, would you go ahead and close our service today? Yes. Amen. Have a wonderful Memorial Day if you're off. Make sure if you